You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Bart Crabtree is with us, president of the Montana State Council on Judicial Accountability, and also board member Janae Weber. And I appreciate you guys. This is something else that we probably won't have a ton of time to talk to, but we can circulate back on this one, too. Welcome both. Bart, I want to start with you because there are a couple of bills that are being drafted now, so I couldn't necessarily look at the language, but they're going to be designed to, why don't you tell me, increase accountability for our judicial branch?
Yes, that's correct, Tom. The first one is, as it sits right now, is called LC-2854, and it's in regards to what is known as a conviction integrity unit in the state of Montana. CIUs are getting very popular around the country, and it's time that Montana has one. We have one of the highest rates of exonerations per capita in the United States. Wrongful convictions harm a lot of people and most certainly bring harm to original victims of crime. So we're pushing that. We're drafting that right now. I'm going to be speaking with somebody in Helena and making some revisions to that draft today, as a matter of fact, at 2 o'clock. And the other one is LC-2852, which is a Citizens Oversight Commission. We're proposing to abolish current oversight of our judiciary because they are self-disciplined right now, and we are proposing to bring a 21-member citizens panel oversight. So if there's complaints about anybody within the judiciary, go before that panel.
What will the makeup of that panel be?
Janae has been working a lot on that. She can maybe expound a little bit more on that. I've been working diligently on the CIU. But in a nutshell, the 21-member panel would consist of three different panels of seven people each, where the first panel would review, for instance, a grievance against a judge in the state of Montana, and if it warranted further procedure, it would go on to the next panel of seven people and so forth. So, and the Conviction Integrity Unit, which I've been working on really hard, we actually are trying to kind of pattern it, not copy it, but pattern it over the North Carolina Innocence Inquiry Commission. We're going to be calling it the Montana Innocence Inquiry Commission, and it would be comprised of eight people on the commission, and underneath that there would be a director and four other employees that would run it. So if somebody was convicted under very questionable circumstances, such as fraud upon the court or perjury or police misconduct or things like that, they could file an innocent petition, and it would be reviewed by this Conviction Integrity Unit or the Montana Innocence Inquiry Commission.
Janae, why is this apparently needed here in the state of Montana and in other places around the country?
Well, really interesting, because I'm kind of the old mindset of do the crime, do the time. That's the way I was. You know, I have a business, and I just was never, ever really paid attention and would hire people, and they would tell me their stories, you know, from coming out. And I couldn't believe it. And after doing the research, I went, holy buckets, we are now ninth in the nation in wrongful convictions. We are also incarcerating at a rate of 466 per 100,000, which, just to give you an idea, next to us, North Dakota is at 226, Utah is at 238. And you have to wonder, why in the world are we incarcerating so high? Are people worse here than someplace else, or what's the deal? What's going on? And as a taxpayer, we started looking and seeing how much is going to incarceration and versus education. And if we don't turn this around pretty doggone quick, we're going to be paying more for incarceration than education, which nobody wants, right? So when we started looking at all of this and started putting think tanks around the state, we started meeting all over the state, asking citizens and legislators to come up with some solutions and ideas of what we could do, because instead of just complaining about it, our philosophy is, if you're going to come and complain, you have to come up with two solutions with it. Don't talk to me if you don't have solutions to help our state get
like
better. Yeah, and so that's where the Montana State Council on Judicial Accountability initiated and started out of Bart's passion for that, for justice, for truth. And that's why we would really value any ideas and help from your listeners as we move forward, Tom, because you have such a great listening audience. Most of us are lovers of Montana. We want to see it better for our children, our grandchildren, and we want to leave it a better place. And so please, if any of your listeners would like to help us or give ideas or input, they can go to our website, which, you know, it's just mtscoja.org, and register there. And we would just love to the value of input from your listeners.
Well, and I think I'll hit that again. It's mtscoja.org, and that's the Montana State Council on Judicial Accountability. Janae Weber, board member there. President Bart Crabtree is with us. Bart, this kind of comes into focus for a lot of people when they are affected by it personally. And I remember talking with Mike Dennison, a reporter, longtime in Montana, and when he wrote his story, Inside Montana Politics, one of the chapters, and this goes back to like 2008, you know, almost 12, 8, 15 years ago, Cody Marble is a well-known right. case. Are you getting more and more examples of cases like Cody Marble?
Yes, and of course that's what our passion is, to bring light to these wrongful convictions. Of course, Cody went through a horrible, horrible ordeal. And as a lot of you know, right now that the legislature is passing a bill for compensation for those that are wrongfully convicted, because the state hasn't had anything like this. So what we're trying to do is bring light to that, as well as bring this conviction integrity unit as well. But it all boils down to accountability in our justice system. It just, something has to be done. You know, our justice system is self-disciplined. Like I said, they oversee themselves, and we just can't have that. And I'm not sitting here trying to bash judges right. or police officers or prosecutors or anything like that, but we've been working with the National Registry of Exonerations, with the Fair and Just Prosecution, the Quattrone Center, which is part of Penn State Law, and the statistics are kind of staggering. You know, the number of exonerations in 2019, a third of those exonerations, there was never even a crime that was committed. And then the other two-thirds consisted of official misconduct and perjury or false accusations. So there has to be accountability for this stuff to at least try to curb this tide of wrongful convictions.
Will,
yeah, and Tom, the other thing on that, too, is it that in 2018, the Pew Report stated that 82% of the people that were incarcerated that year did not go in on crimes. They went in on technical violations, not new crimes. So I was appalled by that. That's 82%. That's a tax dollar. We're talking millions and millions of dollars because somebody didn't show up for a meeting. They did tested hot for, you know, a UA or something like that, which wasn't a new crime. So those are some things that we need to address in our state and get a handle on. And one of the things that we're working on, too, is an education bill. We found throughout all of this, if we can get education into the system, if they get a four-year degree while they're in prison, that lowers recidivism to like zero. If they get a two-year degree and vocational, it drops recidivism to like 12 to 14%. So these are kind of some of the things that we need to start working on instead of punitive. And that's another thing that I'd like to, you know, ask your listeners is like, what do we want somebody that's been incarcerated to come out and look like? Because if we want them to come out looking angry and mad and be violent, then let's continue with what we're doing, because that's what we've been producing the last 20, 30 years with this tough on crime stuff.
Yeah, I think
but if we want to do like what the Netherlands did, the Netherlands invested heavily in 2014 into mental health. And by 2019, one of their byproducts was 40% drop in violent crime. So those are kind of some of the things that we could look at that are working.
I love that statistic. I want to grab some more of that. It's mtscoja.org. Look, I got to take a break here, and then we got a call from somebody in Missoula. We'll come on back and get that in. I knew we were going to run out of time, but that happens, but you will have more time on another day. I'm interested in this. Again, the Montana State Council on Judicial Accountability. More to come here on Voices of Montana. You know, as Bart had said and Janae had said, the highest respect for our judiciary branch and the members of our law enforcement. I know it's a tough job, and so we're not maligning that. I think those folks themselves will at times say, hey, we don't always get it right. Well, what happens when they don't always get it right? this is what accountability is about. And this is why we're talking today with members of the Montana State Council on Judicial Accountability. Bart Crabtree is with us, Janae Weber as well. Let's take a quick phone call. Elliot, listening online, voicesofmontana.com in the Missoula area. We're rebroadcast there at 1 o'clock on KMPT 99.7 FM. But Elliot, thanks for calling in today. What's your question?
Well, I have more of a statement to make. I practice law in Missoula County and in Lake County and in Flathead County and some other parts of the state. And I have not been an attorney very long. My background is in public education as a mental health professional and special education teacher. So I'm very familiar with the pipeline to being a criminal. I came to Montana, went to law school at the age of 52, and became an attorney here in Missoula, and I've been practicing for about 3.5 years. I do some criminal work, not a lot. But I do a lot of family law, and often within the family law context, I have clients who are tied up in a criminal part regarding family matters, abuse, neglect, and or partner family member abuse. And there's a tendency, I think, to, number one, not vet those crimes properly because there's a lot of he said, she said, and he who calls the police first usually wins that battle. And that's a problem. And I'm not indicting the police on this because right. They do their job. They come out to a complaint. They listen to what the parties say, and they make an arrest based on what they have in their hand. There's nothing wrong with that at all. The problem comes when there's not a true proper investigation. I mean, once the prosecutor gets the case, if the prosecutor decides to charge the case, the police are going to provide the evidence that they have. It's not their job to investigate the innocence of a party. It's their job to investigate the crime and make it stick if they think that this is the person who did it. The problem is that if you're, you know, a regular Joe out there, paying for a private attorney is difficult. And so you get a public defender, and, you know, all of us are trained the same way. Most attorneys are pretty competent, okay? They really are, but they have limited time based on the job that they do, depending on the context of their work. And, you know, and a public defender has a tough caseload, and they don't have necessarily the time or the ability or the resources to investigate the possible innocence of somebody who's been accused of say a partner family member abuse charge. And because of that,
can I interject
plea deals,
something here, Elliot?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And 30 seconds, Janae.
Okay. This is a real big problem because the disparity between the public defenders and the county attorneys' wages is horrendous, and this is one of the things that we are seeing that could be possibly why people that are innocent are getting convicted, is that they do not have good representation because the public defenders are not being funded appropriately to have a fair playing field.
Thank you. You know what? I am out of time. I guess I get a little tired of saying that. Elliot, if you'll stand by, I would love to get your phone number, if you're willing, to chat more about this, because we will have this topic and this discussion expounded upon further. I know there's these measures, as you had mentioned, Bart, that are moving forward. So I'm going to look at those bills. And when they do, hopefully, do get introduced, we'll have another opportunity to get into them in more specifics. So Janae Weber and also Bart Crabtree, thank you, with the Montana State Council on Judicial Accountability.